This episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast is dedicated to all those who were impacted by the events in Orlando, Florida this past weekend. Our prayers go out to the families of the victims, as well as the law enforcement personnel and medical professionals who answered the call when this tragedy struck. The following episode is on strength, and we pray to all those involved to find the strength to move on.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
My name is Kate. I'm from New Jersey, and I listen to the Mickey Miles podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 388 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and of course, right alongside of me is the one and only Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
There actually is another Michelle Scribner, my sister-in-law, but there is not another Michelle Scribner-McLean.
Oh, thank God.
As far as I know. I have a shout-out, and that is to a fellow Mickey Miler who is, if I had to give a Team Spirit Award, she would be right up there. Her name is Jackie Cabrera. She's always posting funny songs, videos. She always has a smile on her face, and so happy to see her. Her post, because she's just so happy and nice all the time. So Jackie, a shout out to you.
I love Jackie. I ran a little bit with her for the Lightside Half Marathon. She had this really cool vest. It was a runner's vest. She had the gels. She had a place for her phone. She had a place for water and everything.
Wow, it was just fax machine.
It was everything. You know, swimming pool, movie star.
Fax machine. Really, what year are we in?
It was awesome. It was awesome. Fax I love Jackie. Yeah, great shout out. Great shout out. And of course, the golden tones of Chris Eliopoulos is in the background. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Mike. How's it going? How's it going?
I'm looking forward to hearing about this
Chris
song.
Chris has developed an Irish brogue all of a sudden.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where Mickey Eliopoulos. Yeah. So I was, because I know I was thinking about Mike's favorite band. Well, not even a band, but Fatboy Slim, right? That's your the song you like to listen to is Weapon of Choice.
Weapon of Choice.
Right? That's your big guy, right? Mike has no clue.
Mike, you know that video of Christopher Walken?
Christopher Walken dancing.
There we go. He's walking on the ceiling.
Finally, I got something he knows.
There we go. But why does he know it?
I don't know. That was the
I showed you that video.
No, but I had seen that.
Oh, you have? Yeah,
I'm sorry. You were probably in high school when it was on.
You're so tech savvy.
Yeah, so tech savvy. Yeah. Anyways, I don't know, Chris. You're starting to talk about songs I know.
Yeah,
I know. I'll change it up. Okay. Who else we got with us
today? Oh, we got a very special guest. As a matter of fact, our special guest today is no stranger to those of you who have run a few Run Disney events under your belts. She wears many hats. Among them, she's an author. She's the author of the Everything Flat Belly Cookbook, which is 300 quick and easy recipes to help drop the belly fat and tone your abs. She's also a publisher, of course. She's a TV personality. The list goes on. She's a race announcer, and of course, she's an athlete. And I would like to add that she's also a motivational speaker. She's a corporate spokesperson. The list goes on and on. I would also add one more, or maybe two more. One, she's a brand ambassador, but most of all, she is a fitness expert. She's the creator of this program called The Morning Mile. It's a before-school walking and running program. It allows kids to begin each day in an active, healthy, and fun way. She's a very close friend of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. We're always excited to have her come on to share her expertise. Listen up, everybody, in all things fitness. She is Fitz Kohler. Welcome back, Fitz.
Thank you so much. What a sweet introduction.
Talk about peppy, too.
Oh, yeah, peppy.
Talk about peppy and happy. Peppy. Yeah.
Infinitely peppy all the time, Michelle. I can't help it.
So, Michelle, why did we invite.
Well, Fitz, I don't know when you and I were talking about this. I can't even remember. It all kind of blends together. Maybe the last Run Disney event.
Something in Orlando.
Yeah, around the Boardwalk Bakery.
Yeah, it wasn't in New Hampshire, I'm pretty sure. But we were talking about, well, we always like to have you come back on. And I think we kind of arrived at this idea together. Maybe you said it and I said, I was thinking of that too. But we're talking about the importance of strength training in running and in fitness.
Yeah.
And so we kind of wanted to, I mean, just start with the tip of the iceberg. We've talked about this a little bit on the show, but I know that this for you is one of the things that you're passionate about, especially with runners, because we can all get into the rut of running and doing nothing else but running.
Just run.
Yeah. So we have a lot of questions around this, but why don't I start off by asking, how would you define strength training?
Well, anything that makes you grow stronger. And some people really isolate that and envision dumbbells. And yeah, I love the dumbbells. In fact, I look at dumbbells and I call them my boyfriend. But strength training can be, you know, lifting your own body weight off the floor, you know, doing push-ups or squats or lunges or using kettlebells or resistance bands or cables. The list goes on and on. So there is a strength training outlet available to you at all times, whether it is just pushing against gravity or using the equipment, but the furniture in your own home. But it should be a priority. And so if you don't mind me going off on a little tangent for a couple of minutes.
You go, girl.
Thank you. One of the things I'd like our audience to understand is that before you're a runner, you're a person. And I can assume that all of your listeners want to be fit. You know, of course, they want the athletic adventure and accomplishment that comes with running races. However, we want to be fit people, and whatever size you are, we can accomplish that. But in order to be fit, you have to be able to meet a few criteria. And so if you can run 5 miles, but you can't do 5 push-ups, and push-ups are really just a pretty basic exercise of lifting your own body weight. If you can do 5 miles, but you can't do 5 push-ups, do you qualify as fit?
No. I guess not. I guess that's where you're leading us.
No. You know, if you're a big bodybuilder, but you can't run down your street, are you fit? Mm. No. So there are 4 categories of fitness. It's cardio and respiratory endurance training, which is, you know, heart lung. That's the huffy puffy thing we do with running. There's strength. There's flexibility. And balance. And so all 4 of those things need to come into play and be a focus for you to be truly fit. Mm-hmm. And so if you're looking at yourself going, uh-oh, I can't touch my toes, you're lacking. If you can do a marathon but you can't touch your toes, I've got a major problem with that. And it's not only because, yes, you're not reaching this all-encompassing umbrella of being fit, it also makes you more prone to injury. Mm-hmm. And so you should focus on those 4 areas of fitness, because that will make you more athletic, for sure. It will make you more resilient. You know, a strong person versus a weak person. If there's me and my weaker twin, if we're in a car and we get rear-ended in a parking lot, my weaker twin is 10 times more likely to suffer from whiplash or herniated disc. And so it's not just about getting to the finish line, earning those medals. It's about living and being injury free and not having back pain and being high energy and, you know, all of the things that I need you to do, that I'm going to pester you to do every time you hear me, see me, read what I write. It's because I want you to be truly fit, and I want you to have a really high quality long life. And, you know, just running won't get you there. You got to do more. So yeah, there you go. That's my start. Go on.
All right, let me ask a quick question, because I think of when I get up in the morning, I have every intention of getting ready, and like I do a lot of running, but I also want to get fit. And then I think of people like Mike, who gets up in the morning at 4 o'clock and does a 2-hour commute. A lot of us have busy lives, and there's not a lot of chance for us to find that time, especially if we're running so much, to find time to do extra work like strength training. So is there any tips you could give us to sort of help us find that time, or little things that we could do during the day that could give us that strength training without having to run to a gym for an hour, or you know, lose more time in our day?
Absolutely. So number one, you have to prioritize it and force it in. So there's that. You have to be in charge of you and your schedule and make time. One of the things I coach professionals up on a lot is just, you know, squeezing in those 5 minutes of lunges, ab work, push-ups, squats, the things that require new equipment. Shut the door of your office and get them done. If you could pop out 40 push-ups while, you know, your boss is around the corner, do it. If you can go out in the hall and make something happen, hide in a conference room, every little bit counts. And so that's something important. Just holding a 1 minute plank can get you somewhere. So it's important to know that you can squeeze in 1 minute intervals of strength training or stretching or balance training or even cardio, and it all adds up. So
it doesn't have to be like in succession. You don't have to sit there for a half an hour. You can do a little bit all during the day, little bits here and there.
Yeah, and imagine this. Sit down and do, you know, however maximum push-ups you could do right now. How long would that take you, Chris?
Give me a second. I'll be right back. One! That was about 1 second.
All right.
No, I'm playing games. But, yeah, right. So is there, like, do you have a set alarm or something on your phone or on your computer and you say every 20 minutes get up and do something, right?
It's a great idea. Yes. Okay. All of the above. Absolutely. And then, you know, some of the things I coach professionals up on are walk and talk meetings. You know, you don't have to sit down for things. We've got cell phones. They're not attached to the wall anymore. If you've got a conversation to have, do it on the treadmill. Do it while walking around your building. If you've got a meeting with your boss or your colleague, do it on the go. There's no reason you should be nailed to your chair unless you're taking notes. If you have a conference call, and we all know what that's like. In fact, guys, I could be doing all sorts of exercises right now, and you would know. So, you know, you could put that conference call on speakerphone and do some dips on the edge of your desk. So you have to be creative, but it has to be a priority for you. And, you know, what's interesting is in the running industry, it drives me bonkers. And there's some old school folks who say this, don't strength train. Have you heard that? Don't strength train. It'll slow down your time. It'll make you a worse runner. Have you heard this before?
No. I haven't.
No? Luckily, no. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. There's actually someone I love, love, love who says that, don't strength train. And then my question is, you know, on any given day doing absolutely anything, would you rather be stronger or weaker?
Stronger.
Well, yeah, you would. Stronger is the right answer. And I can do a survey of 1,000 people, a million people. It doesn't matter how many people I'm standing in front of. When I ask, would you rather be stronger or weaker, 100% of the hands go up and say, yep, stronger. So, you know, running doesn't just require endurance. Our legs are heavy. Each leg is approximately 30% of your body weight. So if you're a 100-pound person, which none of us are, that's 30 pounds each step we take. Make that. If you're a 200-pound person, that's a 60-pound weight you're having to lift from the hip. Lift, bend that knee, propel your 200-pound body forward. And so that requires a lot of strength. And if you are stronger, you know, every move you make is going to be more powerful. It's going to be more comfortable. It's going to make your race a lot more comfortable. And it's going to make you faster. Faster is nice, right?
Yeah.
And so, Chris, going back to your question, you talk about not sacrificing running days.
Right.
I say do it. If you've got a five-day-a-week running schedule, definitely sacrifice one of those to do more strength training, or definitely sacrifice 10 minutes of running to finish off your workout with. I have an online strength training for runners workout. It's totally free. I think it's 12 minutes long. And so if you're going to go out and run for an hour, much better for you to run for 48 minutes, cap that baby off with a killer strength training workout designed specifically for runners. And that's a much more effective use of your time than running only and, oh, well, on the strength training.
Right. Do you feel – sorry, Mike, I'll let you go. I know. Now I got like 50 questions. But so it's everybody says, yes, I want to be healthier. I want to be stronger. I want to be more powerful. And we all do that. We all get up in the morning and say, I'm going to get up and do this. And then life gets in the way or – the motivation goes. Do you have like goals or things that you help people find to motivate them to do those 5 minutes of exercises? Like, is there like a, oh, by the end of the week, I want to be able to say I did 30 minutes or 60 minutes during this week. Is there like, do you have like little tidbits that you give to people for that?
I actually have an online challenge I do on Facebook. It's called the Hottie Body Fitness Challenge. And so people come in with their very own specific goals. Some people are trying to lose 100 pounds. Some people are trying to just earn a PR at their next race or, you know, whatever, earn a beautiful butt. But I do give out daily workout assignments. So if you're someone who doesn't want to think about your workout, but you do want to accomplish something fantastic, if you join the Hottie Body Fitness Challenge group, you can wake up and there's a beautiful graphic waiting for you. And it says, today you're going to cycle 6 miles. You're going to do 10 burpees, 15 angry ups, and 40 Russian twists. And if you go, what the hell is an angry up? There's videos I've created. So you can go in the comment section and actually follow along. So I lead you through 15 angry ups. So you never have any question marks over your head about what to do. It's me saying, all right, Chris, today you're going to do this. And we do it together, and it's fun.
And what's the website, the URL?
It's Hottie. It's on Facebook.
Okay.
And so it's Hottie, H-O-T-T-I-E, Body Fitness. So that's my F-I-T-Z-N-E-S-S challenge. Hottie Body Fitness Challenge. I have about 500 members are around the world. It's free.
Cool.
Most of the workouts are designed so you can do in your own home. I give some equipment assignments just for variety. So I ask you to do the elliptical or the bike sometimes. But if you don't have an elliptical or a Stairmaster, you can go to a stadium or just climb steps at your local bank or hotel, whatever you want to do. So it's pretty varied. But we have Russ Stringer. You know Russ. He's a Mickey Miler.
Right.
Russ has dropped 35 pounds. That's with my exact formula for weight loss, which I think we've talked about this before. I'm 100% opposed to diets. I'm 100% opposed to those obnoxious shakes and pills and wraps and all the other garbage our friendly snake oil salesmen are selling. And I just teach you how to eat the right amounts of the right foods for the size you want to be. Brian Marks is down over 50 pounds using the formula. There's a bunch of Mickey Milers we could point to that have lost tons of weight, just learning how to eat wisely and manage their workouts.
Excellent. Love it. Michelle, I'll let you talk now. Okay, I'm done.
And Fitz, I am using your formula, and it is working for me, too.
Why don't you tell what the formula is?
Okay, the formula is...
No, I meant Fitz.
Oh, Fitz, go ahead. Why don't you do it? Yes.
Okay, so, well, I got to know. How much have you lost? I got to know.
Approximately 20.
Really?
Yeah.
And how long have you been using it?
About a month.
Oh my God, that's incredible!
And what's nice about it is that, although it sounds like it's a lot in a month, I think it's come off slowly enough so that it's embedding into my behavior, and so I'm very conscious about everything that I put into my mouth, and I'm recording it, and I'm saying, okay, I can't go beyond this because it violates Fitz's formula. And I get some friends in work doing the same thing, and it's working for everybody. They say it's so easy. I said, of course it's easy, you know.
And you're never hungry, right?
No, Michelle, am I ever hungry?
I don't know, Mike. Are
no,
you?
No, you always, you know, because you've been asking me, and I've said no, I'm not hungry.
Yeah, I'm more hungry than you are.
Yeah, yeah. So it's definitely working. Why don't you tell everybody what the formula is?
Okay, I'm gonna tell you exactly after I tell you that you just made my heart grow 3 times bigger today. I'm so excited.
Like you're the Grinch.
Yeah, the uber happy Grinch, but the opposite Grinch, whatever that is. But that makes me happy. And the fact that your friends and colleagues are losing weight, too, I call that trickle-down fitness. It makes me very happy. When friends tell friends and everybody gets fit together, that's trickle-down fitness. But so here's the exact formula is decide what your goal weight is. So everyone out there in Mickey Mouse podcast land, think of the weight you would like to be. Now add a zero on the end of that number. And so let's say you wanted to be 155 pounds. Your daily caloric budget for each day would be 1,550. And there's a bunch of actual science that goes into that. And I'm big on science and research. And on average, humans burn about 10 calories per pound of body weight each day. And so if you weigh 200 pounds, your body is burning about 2,000 calories per day just to maintain itself. That's going about your business. We're not talking about your Zumba class, your run, your weightlifting. That's just digesting your food, processing oxygen, waking up in the morning, getting dressed, blah, blah, blah. You're burning about 2,000. So if you weigh 200 pounds and you're staying there, we know you're consuming at least 2,000 calories a day. If you would like to weigh 155 pounds, you have to tell your body, that's how much you're going to weigh, and I'm only going to feed you enough to be 155 pounds. So you start giving it 1,550 calories a day. Eventually, it'll shrink down to that size. Now,
are the gods not happy where you are?
Oh, did you hear?
Yes.
Sorry, it's my Florida storm.
Oh, okay.
Every afternoon, my dog is shaking. She's terrified in my lap, but she will survive it, right, Piper? So, it's your caloric budget, which is really the most important part. But, you know, buyer beware, you could kill 1,500 calories at breakfast at Starbucks. You know, get a bagel with cream cheese and a fancy coffee, your 1,500 calories are gone. And so instead of, you know, making unhealthy choices for your caloric budget, Michael, tell you that when you start choosing wisely, you know, you could go really far and consume a heck of a lot of food if you're making wise choices, if you're leaning on produce and lean protein sources, lean dairy, some healthy whole grains. And one of the things I like best is I have no interest in people that say, I'm going to do gluten-free unless they have a gluten allergy. Right. Or nothing white, ever. Really? You're never going to have a slice of pizza ever in your life? Or I'm not going to have any bread or any fruit? Or I've heard the weirdest things. And so this caloric budget isn't rigid or weird in any way. It gives you a budget that says, hey, this is a reasonable amount of calories for the person that you are striving to be. And so mix it up. If you keep about 80% of your food and beverage choices healthy, you know, high nutrient, lower in calorie, then you can have a beer here and there. I have a piece of chocolate every darn day, and I get to be...
That's what you get.
Somebody's
not happy about that.
The gods are not happy about my chocolate.
Thor doesn't like his candy.
Whoops. But yeah, you know, I have a little bit every day, or I have a muffin top. I never eat the whole muffin. I eat the crusty part on top. But, you know, I get to play with it. And you'll find when you create your caloric budget that, you know, you'll have some wiggle room, and then you don't have to dedicate a whole day for my cheat day. And I think that leads to reckless behavior. You know, if every day you just know you're going to have your 1,700 calories or 1,200 calories or 2,400 calories based on your goals, then you'll get there. And like Mike says, it's easy to follow, and you're never hungry. You feel good about the choices you make, right?
It's amazing how easy it was to understand, you know, what I mean, just and journaling is a big part of this, making sure that you know, you understand what you have been eating and you know, so that you can follow it. And Michelle is shaking her head.
I'm nodding my head.
Oh, you're nodding your head because she's always said
I am
that
the journal queen.
She's the journal queen. Yes. Oh, there's a drop of water. I gotta, you know.
Yeah, and you know, technology has made it so much easier. You put it in your phone, you just said, hey, I had an English muffin. You drop it in there and it'll tell you that's 130 calories. And when your caloric budget is done for the day, hopefully you are done eating for the day. And it's just simple, stupid, and that's how I like to keep it. And, you know, I'm in pretty good shape, and I used to be 45 pounds heavier than I am, and that's when I was teaching two group fitness or aerobics classes a day, back when they were called aerobics, but it was changing my eating habits. That's what turned me into a lean girl, and I never diet, and, you know, I never stress over my weight, and I've been my weight for 20-something years now, which my happy weight, I'll say, but I don't jot down everything I eat. But halfway through my day, I'm still going through, okay, about how many calories? I had it for breakfast. I had a Kind bar and an apple. So that's about 250 calories. And then I had this. So, you know, it never stops. You don't have to write everything down for the rest of your life. But if you want to stay at your goal weight, you have to continue the behavior that got you there in the first place. And so that's why it's not a diet. It's not temporary. It's just your new healthy habits.
Right. And one of the nice things about it is that you do get, you become so informed. It's like you become a very intelligent consumer, because I can look at, for instance, when I have my breakfast, I say, okay, I know that if I have that, it's going to be so many calories in that. And if I know that if I have this for lunch, it's going to be, it's getting to the point where I can look at something and I know exactly what kind of a caloric amount I'm about to have. And I'll say, well, you know, I think I want to make a choice because I know that I'm having such and such for dinner, and that's going to be about 400 to 500 calories, and I want to make sure I can have that. So you become much more informed. You become a much more the tools that you acquire help you to maintain that lifestyle.
I'm so proud of you, Mike, and you are my poster boy. I'm beaming from ear to ear. You have no idea.
That is part one of our visit with Fitz Kohler. She is the best, and the best is yet to come. So we want you to join us for part two of our visit with Fitz Kohler. And so for Fitz Kohler and for Michelle Scriven-McLean and for Chris Aliopoulos, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.